John chapter 5, I'd like to read the first 14 verses for our text this evening. Familiar passage of Scripture to most folks, and a familiar miracle that Jesus Christ performs here. We're probably going to look at it a little bit different than maybe you are used to or accustomed to. So just keep your Bibles open and your hearts open and your minds open and pray that God would bless these things to our hearts. John 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then answered they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. We have a record here of a great miracle that Jesus Christ performed. We have the record here of a pool called Bethesda. And every so often a miracle occurred here, and I believe exactly what the Bible tells me here. I believe an angel of the Lord went down and the waters were troubled and people were being miraculously healed if they were the first into the water. I don't doubt what the Scriptures tell me at all in this passage of Scripture. We find the record of a man who went to the pool, positioned himself by the pool, and was waiting for an opportunity to see the waters troubled and to be the first one in. And I want to look at this passage of Scripture this evening. I want to preach on the subject, positioning yourself for blessing. Positioning yourself for blessing. You know, I'm troubled by a lot of preaching that I hear these days that implies that God isn't in the blessing business, and that there's nothing we can do to please God, and there's no way we can live our life that will affect the blessings of God, and there's nothing we can do to enhance or bring the blessings of God upon us. I believe the Bible teaches us just the opposite of that. There is a way that we can live that is pleasing to the Lord. There is a way that we can live that will bring the blessings of God upon us. I believe we need to be diligently seeking to keep our lives in tune with God and in a place where He is not only willing, but He will bless us. I don't want to portray God in any incorrect light, but folks, I believe God wants to bless His people. God loves His people. And there are things that we can do. In fact, the Bible is filled with instructions. If we'll do this, God will bless. If we'll do that, God will bless. If we'll live this way, if we'll pray, if we'll do this, the Bible is filled with instructions that teach us God will bless us, consequent to some of our actions. And it's in light of this thought that I want to think about positioning ourselves for blessing. Placing ourselves at a place where God blesses us. It is possible. I want to notice some things about this man, and again, not taking anything away from the miracle or other things that can be found here, but I want you to think about this man, and I want you to notice here in verse number 5, there was a certain man there. This man positioned himself by the pool of Bethesda. He positioned himself at the place of blessing. He needed a blessing. He needed a miracle. He needed healing. He needed not only physical healing, but he needed spiritual healing. And we find him in this dire straits, positioning himself at the place of blessing. And I hope we'll search our hearts and ask ourselves, have we positioned where God can bless us? Are we seeking to be positioned where God can bless us? Just really four things I want to notice from this text concerning positioning ourselves for blessing. I want to first of all draw from this passage of Scripture the fact that in order to position ourselves for blessing, we must come to the end of ourself. Now stop and think about that statement. We must come to the end of ourself if we want God to bless us. We've got to bring ourselves to the point where we understand it's not up to us. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to worry it through, and it's not up to me to stress this out. The place of blessing is a place where we come to the end of ourselves and we acknowledge, God, it's only going to happen if You cause it to happen. Folks, when it comes to spiritual things, only God can work and only God can bless. And we've got to come to the end of ourselves. We can't get folks saved. God can. And we've got to come to the end of our efforts and the end of our thinking. We've got to get them saved, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that. And the reason they're not saved is because of this or because of what we did. And come to the point where we say, God, I pray You'll save them. Only You can save them. I'm handing them up to You. Are you burdened enough about any lost friend, any lost family member? After you've witnessed and after you've prayed for them, or you just give them up to God and say, God, for Your honor, for Your glory, save them. Can you come to the point where instead of for your own conscience or for how it will make you feel, can you come to the end of yourself and say, God, save them just for Your glory? I think many times parents want their children to be saved because of the effect it's going to have upon them. That's wrong. We need to come to the point where we pray for our children and our grandchildren in such a way that we say, God, save them for Your honor and for Your glory. Don't save them so I can say, oh, my kids are saved. Don't save them so I can say, oh, my grandkids are saved. Don't save them so I can have a clear conscience and not worry about them and not worry about their eternity. God, you save them for your glory, for your honor. That's coming to the end of self. Verse number 5 through 7, this man is described for us. And in verse number 7, it tells us he was the impotent man. And then he says, I have no man to put me in. He had come to the point where he was at the end of himself. He needed a miracle, and only the Lord could do it. You need a miracle in your life tonight? You want God to bless your life? Then stop trying to manufacture those things and stop trying to manipulate those things and stop worrying over those things and come to the end of yourself and say, God, if this is going to be, only you can do it. We live too much in a society where we grab a hold and we make things happen. And have God's blessings upon us. We have to come to the end of ourselves and say, God, only you can make this happen. We've got to get ourselves out of the way. That's a hard thing to do. Hard thing to get ourselves out of the way and just leave it with God. Look with me into the book of Psalms, chapter 107. Psalms 107. And let's begin reading with verse number 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Preached on this passage not too long ago, and it was such a blessing. And study it sometime in devotion. And look at the spiritual applications here, and it talks about people who go down to the sea. Folks, there's a time in our life when we need to go down to the sea. We need to go down and do business for the Lord. We need to go down and do what the Lord would have us to do. We need to do business in great waters. But it says people who will go down to the sea and people who will get into ships and people who will go out into the great waters, who will go out into the oceans, or into the lakes like we have around Michigan and Ohio here. These folks see the works of the Lord. Tell you what, when you get in a boat and you get way out there away from land and security and safety and any reference point, you are at the end of self. See, when you're tied to the dock, you're not the end of self. As long as you're fishing along the shoreline, you're not the end of yourself because you're looking at that land saying, I could swim there easy enough. But you get in a boat and you go way out there where you can't see land anymore, then you are coming towards the end of yourself. Totally vulnerable. Totally at what we would say God's mercy. Folks that go out into the sea and they cut loose of all the securities, they see God in a greater way than land lovers do. If you've ever been out in the waters of a lake or out in the ocean and had a storm come up, you realize you're at the end of self. There's nothing to run under. There's nothing to hold on to. You're out there and you see the wonders of God. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. You get out there in the water and you're in your little boat, you're in there, your little ship, and the waves come. God has commanded those. All security is gone. You're at the end of yourself. You're a whole lot closer to God than when you've got all your safety nets and all your security around you. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. I can remember my wife and I took a cruise for our 20th anniversary. In order to afford to do that, we had to go when it was still technically hurricane season. Not worth saving a few bucks, folks, if you ever think about that. But we were coming back from the Keys on that ship, huge ship. But the end of a hurricane was coming through that area, and we had went to sleep, and I woke up by being rolled out of bed onto the floor. And for the rest of that night, that ship went up, and that ship went down, and it went sideways, and it went every way it could. I went out there and sat on the deck and watched that ship. It would rise up. You'd see the nose go up, and then you'd see it come down. There was a ship paralleling us, going the same course. And every once in a while, you'd see its lights, and then every once in a while, you'd say, where'd that ship go? You get into that situation, and you realize how hopeless and how helpless and how great God is. And you get really spiritual. You get really close to God when you get to the end of yourself. You want God to bless you, you've got to get to the end of yourself. When you've done all that is required of you, when you do all that God expects you to do, and there's nothing more for you to do, you've got to give it over to God. And I know people who will theologically argue with that, but folks, there is a point where we've got to give it up to God and stop trying to make it happen. Stop worrying and stop stressing. Just say, God, I can't do anything about this. When the doctors say, I'm sorry, we don't have anything else to do for you, you're going to find yourself at the end of yourself. You'll give it up to God real quick then. But the same situation happens in our homes and happens in our families and happens in our careers, happens in our church life, happens in our professional lives, our personal lives. To be positioned where God can bless, we've got to come to the end of ourselves and are making things happen. I'm saying, God, it's all in your hands. I know it is already. I'm talking about being blessed. We have to come to the point where we say, I have no man that can help me. I have no way of making this happen. God, I totally rely upon you. Let's continue to read here just quickly in Psalms. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. It's talking about a man or a woman who's gone down to the sea and gotten in a boat and gone way out into the big waters. A storm has come up. God is demonstrating His power. They have no control. They're tossed around like a drunken man, totally at God's disposal and God's mercy. It says they come to the end of their wits. Then what happens when they come to that end? Verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord. See that? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. I love this passage of Scripture. Folks, life can get stormy. Life can be problematic. Life can be heart-crushing. Life can be destroying. Life can be destructive. It can be distressful. It can be everything negative we can think about. Life can be hard. But the way to be positioned to come through those times, the way to be positioned for God to bless us from those times, is to come to the end of ourselves and say, God, I'm leaving it with You. So many times in my life, I have thought it was all up to me. I've got to get it done. Many times I've tried to preach, God, I've got to make people do this. I've got to get people to live this way. God, I've got to just force them to be what they ought to be. And God brought me to the point where He says, Randy, it's not up to you. It's up to me. Just preach. Just preach the message I give you and leave it with me. And oh, that's such a blessing when you can get that place in the ministry where you just preach God's word and say, God, the effect is totally yours. You look at your life tonight, you want God's blessings upon it. Realize you can't manufacture those things. Come to the end of yourself. Come to the end of your wits. Come to the place where you cry out to say to God and you say, God, only you can make this happen. Only you can make this better. Only you can get me through this. Only you can heal me. Only you can bless me. There's things we need to do and things we're expected to do, but do them not because the blessing hinges on that. Always know in the back of your heart the blessing hinges upon God. Come to the end of yourself. This man found himself in need of a supernatural work of God, and he had to have faith. He came to the end of himself. Impotent, nobody to help him get into the waters. When he got to the end of himself, Jesus Christ was there. Whatever you're going through tonight or whatever blessings you seek upon your life, realize it's all up to God and His grace and His mercy. And pray like Jesus Christ prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever your will is, God, whatever's glorifying to you, whatever outcome is going to be the most blessed to you, God, you just do it and cause me to accept it. Help me to come to the end of myself. Second of all, I want you to notice in our text that positioning yourself for blessings requires being at the house of mercy. Bible tells us that this pool was called Bethesda. The word Bethesda means house of mercy. This man had to be at the house of mercy. I think that represents to us tonight that this man had to be the center of God's will. This man had to be at the center of God's word. This man had to come face to face with Jesus Christ. You want God's blessings upon your life? You better be at the center of His will. He's not going to bless you in left field. He's not going to bless you off over this direction. He's not going to bless you contingent upon what everybody else is doing. He's going to bless you contingent upon you getting at the center of His will, being at the house of mercy when He comes to bless. Understanding what this book teaches and getting at the center of what this book teaches. Are you at the house of mercy tonight? Is your life in a position for God to bless? Is your life so messed up that if God blessed you, He would be contradicting things He's taught in the Bible? Then get to the center of His will. Get to the center of God's Word and position yourself at the center of where God wants you to be, and He'll bless you. He promises that. See, we want to run all over the world doing our own thing, and we expect God to chase us and to follow us, and we think God is obligated to bless us no matter how we're living or what we're doing. God's not obligated to do anything, first of all. But He's certainly not obligated to bless us when we're out of His will and when we're away from His Word. But He promises He'll bless us because He loves us. If we'll live at the center of His will, the center of His Word. You want God to bless you, then get yourself positioned. If you know what God wants you to do, if you know what God wants you to be, then get at the center of that. Get yourself in the house of mercy. But third of all, I want you to notice that positioning yourself for blessing requires perseverance. Requires perseverance. Verse number 3, "And these day lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting." Waiting for the moving of the water. Positioning yourself for blessing requires perseverance. Sometimes it requires waiting upon God. God doesn't work on our timetable. God isn't a microwave. God isn't instant cereal. The blessings of God sometimes takes our waiting. Takes our being at the house of mercy, being at the center of His will, being at the center of His Word, and being there day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and just patiently staying there and waiting for Him to bless. You want God to bless you? Persevere. Persevere. These folks gathered at this place and they were waiting. They knew it could happen. They had heard it happen. They'd probably seen it happen. And folks, we know God blesses. We've seen God bless. But are we waiting for the blessing of God? Or are we running ahead of God? Or are we dragging behind God? Have we given up on God? Have we left the center of His will? Have we left the center of His Word? Are we waiting upon God? Verse number 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole. They persevered, and when they weren't the first one in, they waited for the next moving. I don't know how in the world this man had stayed there as long as he did, but he stayed there. Can you imagine this man, all the times he's seen people get in before him? There's the water. Oh, she beat me. The waters are moving. He got there first. They were all anticipating the moving of the water. And they had to persevere. Whoever was in first, not everybody, but whoever was first. This man had probably been disappointed many times, but he persevered. He was still there when Jesus Christ came. Verse number 5 tells us a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years he was waiting. Rather at this pool or not, 38 years he had been afflicted. 38 years he needed healing. 38 years he needed a miracle. 38 years he needed the blessings of God. And those blessings came right on time. God wasn't a second late. You want God to bless you? Then get yourself at the center of God's will. Build your life upon God's Word. And then you hang in there day after day, week after week. Whatever your need is, persevere. Wait upon God. God is not mocked and God doesn't fail. God will bless, but He'll bless in His time. If you're praying for somebody's soul, I don't care how long you've prayed for them, you just keep praying for them. Be like the old widow and pester God continually. You've got a burden in your heart. Just because you've prayed about that burden and worked on that burden and taken that burden to the Lord for years and years and years, now's not the time to quit. Persevere just a little bit longer. Pray for that person one more time. Pray for that spouse one more time. Pray for that child one more time. Pray. Take it to the Lord one more time. And then after that, take it one more time. You just don't know how close you are to seeing God's blessings. Well, I just wonder sometimes how many times we quit 5 minutes before God was going to bless us. Maybe that's just humanizing it too much, but I wonder sometimes. I'm going to give this widow what she wants, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She was going to persist. Do we have persistence in seeking the blessings of God? You know, the blessings of God don't come overnight. You may get yourself at the center of God's will. You may get yourself at the center of His Word. And you may be there for years before you start seeing God really bless. You may start tithing and being faithful with your giving, and it may be years down the road before you start seeing God opening those windows of heaven. You may be in every service, and you may persevere in every service and be here every time the doors are open and say, "Where are the blessings of God?" Just keep doing those things. The blessings of God will come. Perseverance positions us for the blessings of God. Verse number 6 says that he'd been there a long time in that case. You want the blessings of God? How long have you persevered in waiting for that? How long have you stayed where God would have you to be and just trusted him? Well, Lord, it didn't come today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Lord, didn't come this year. Maybe it'll be next year. Perseverance will bring us into the blessings of God. In Hebrews 10, verse 36, it says, we have need of patience after we've done the will of God. After we've done the will of God, we need patience to wait for him to bless and wait for him to answer. Probably not a person here tonight who can say they don't need a little more patience. I certainly need more. Just patiently wait upon the blessings of God. Then fourth of all, I want you to notice here in this text that positioning yourself for future blessings requires obedience. Talked about the sin of disobedience last night. Tonight we're talking about the blessings of God and how the blessings of God come to the obedient. They do. You want the blessings of God? You want God to bless you in the years to come? You want God to bless your life yet before you? Then obey him. Notice here in this text, verse number 11. Well, verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. They basically want to know, why are you breaking the commandment? Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? And this is his response. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Here's this man's thinking. At least what I think this man's thinking is. Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath? Well, the man who made me whole told me to do that. If he's got the authority to heal me, he's got the authority to tell me to carry the bed. We're here and we say we're saved by the grace of God. We've been forgiven. By the authority of Jesus Christ, we're whole. If he has the authority to save our souls, does he not have the authority to tell us some things? To expect some obedience? That ought to be our logic tonight. Well, why do you live this way? And why do you do that? And why do you believe this down there? And why are you so particular about this? Because the one who made us whole has the authority to tell us to live a certain way. And it's not burdensome. You think it was a pain for this man to carry his bed who hadn't been able to even get himself in the pool for all those years? He was probably skipping. He's probably whistling a tune. The one who made me whole told me to pick up my bed, and I'm able to do it. Isn't it great? Commandments of the Lord aren't grievous to those who have been made whole. Living a certain way is not grievous to those who've really been exposed to salvation. He commanded me to be whole. He commanded me to live a certain way. Then skip down here and look at verse number 14. After Jesus Christ and this man come face to face again, it says, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. This man was blessed and healed. And Jesus said, now as far as the future is concerned, sin no more. Future blessings hinge upon our obedience to the Lord. Simple obedience. Romans 6, verse 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're saved by grace. Does that mean we ought to live in sin? No, it means we ought to live in obedience. And living in obedience, because we're saved by grace, brings the future blessings of God. We talk about reaping and sowing, and we forget many times it works to the good also. When we sow good seeds, we reap good crops. when we obey God, we're blessed in the future. I was thinking about last night and God's working, and we saw these folks come forward, but then it dawned on me, we'll never really see what was stayed and what was prevented from coming in the future to those who felt they were out of the will of God, wanted to get right with Him, and got right with Him last night. Miraculous, but we'll never see what was prevented and what may have been lurking down the road and waiting down the road had they not sought to be right with God. You ever think about that? Current, present obedience brings future blessings. God speaks to your heart. You might not find instantaneous blessing, but if you want the blessings of God down the road and in the future, then you'd better do what God tells you to do. You'd better get at the center of His will. We all, if we want to be honest as Christians, want the blessings of God. Then let us ask ourselves, do we position ourselves for the blessings of God? Are we positioned tonight for God to bless us right now? Are we positioned for God to bless us tomorrow? Are we positioned for God to bless our families and our homes in the future? Have we come to the end of ourselves and are thinking we've got to make it happen? Have we come to the point where we can just give it up to God and say, God, I trust You. You want God's blessing, you've got to come to the end of yourself. Are you able to do that tonight? Just come to the end of all you're trying to do and all you're trying to make happen and just say, God, I've got to give it up to You. This is destroying me. Have you positioned yourself at the house of mercy? Are you at the center of God's will, at the center of God's Word? You know what the Bible teaches? In addition to what the Bible teaches, has God spoken to your heart, called you to something, and you've not done it? You want God to bless you, you'd better get to the center of the target. Read the Bible. I mean, the evidence is there. God blesses those who get the center of His will, and He longs for us to be there. And He longs to bless us. Are you at the center of God's will? If you're at the center of God's will, have you persevered there? I've been a Christian. I've been a church member. I've served the Lord, and year after year after year, it just seems like I don't see any results from it. Then you hang in there a little bit longer. Don't give up on God because God hadn't given up on you. Humanly as I can put it, don't quit 5 minutes before God might be preparing to bless you. Don't stop praying. Don't stop doing what you know you're required to do. Don't stop doing those things that keep you at the center of God's will, because it may be tomorrow, maybe next week, that God is going to hear an answer. Persevere. Hang in there. Well, God desires faithfulness more than probably about anything we could think about. Hang in there a little longer and see if God's blessings don't come. Then position yourself for future blessings by obeying Him. He's got the authority to save our souls and heal us. Does He not have the authority to tell us some things He expects us to do? And He tells us some things He wants us to do. And He doesn't have to add anything to that, but He does. He says, I've saved you. These are the things I expect you to do. He could have stopped there, but He went on to say, and if you do these things, I'll bless you. I mean, we win both ways, don't we? God's so good to us. Position yourself for future blessings by obedience. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to position yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're lost, you've got to come to the end of yourself. You've got to come to the point where you stop saying, well, I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. You've got to come to the place where you come to the end and you say, I'm not going to delay right now, tonight. I'm going to come to the end of myself, and I'm going to turn to Jesus Christ. You can come to the end of yourself and realize you're nothing but a sinner before a holy, righteous God, and Jesus Christ is your only hope. If you can come to the end of yourself and see the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul. Because you know what happens in salvation? In salvation, we're positioned in Christ. We're already positioned in Christ, but at salvation, we enter into Christ, and we're with Him forever, represented in glory by Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're lost, enter into Christ. Be saved.